Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God.
Open your Bible, if you will, to the passage that Peter read to us, Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4, and this morning I'm going to take you particularly from verse 12 to verse 16. Will you pray with me as we come and learn? Our gracious Father, we thank you for this lovely opportunity on a chilly day to be able to come together like this. We thank you for the great joy that you have placed into our lives from the time we came to know Jesus. We thank you for bringing us into this church at Pine Time. And we are busy, Lord, in your word, learning how you want your church to function. And I pray it would be of great help to all of us this morning. And so we pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit from God's word. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and only for his glory. Amen. Now, friends, you may remember last Sunday when we were in the previous couple of verses, we reminded you that you and I, by the grace of God, have been drawn from different backgrounds and all things different, and have been brought together into a local church here at Christ Church Pine Town. And this is just a small picture of the universal church, where there are people saved from every nation, tribe and culture. And we notice that Jesus, as the head of his church, gave to the church apostles and prophets. These were the men who came and laid the foundation for the church. They laid down the great doctrines for our church. They laid down the functioning of the church. And it was all on this solid, solid foundation. We saw that in chapter 2 of the apostles and the prophets. But then the Lord Jesus has also given to the church the gift of evangelists. And what the evangelist does is the evangelist goes out. The evangelist has a very unique gift from Jesus to make the gospel simple to the unbeliever. And by the grace of God, they are saved. Some of you may laugh at it, but you know, it's a tremendous joy for me to turn on to number 77 on your TV and to watch these old replays of Billy Graham's crusades. I so enjoyed watching him last night. He's getting very old now, but he's preaching at one of these massive stadiums. And the content wasn't phenomenal, but you know what thrilled my heart is you see this man with a passion to bring people to the Lord. And at the end, he invites people to come, and they come. He's an evangelist, not a teacher, not a prophet. He's an evangelist. A wonderfully gifted man to make the gospel simple and people respond. Alright? So the evangelist goes out and draws people into the church. And then Jesus very graciously gives to each local church the gift of a pastor teacher. And this is the man who comes to the local church to build up the church, to teach the Word of God. Alright? That's what we saw last Sunday. Now let's see where we go for this morning. I want you to notice three things there, if I may. We're going to show you God's pattern for the local church. In verse 12, I'm going to show you the progression. In verses 13 and 15, the purpose. And then verse 16, we'll show you the power to do this great work that Jesus wants us to do. So let's have a look then, friends, at the lovely picture in verse 12. Listen to what it says again. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, can I say this to you this morning? And I want you to think it through very, very carefully. That when you turn to the New Testament, the Bible never envisages ministry as the prerogative of the clergy. That's the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't envisage ministry as the prerogative of the clergy. It rather is the privileged calling of all the people of God. Is that all right? Now that is a very important thing, because sometimes folks feel, well, who's your minister? Well, they may say to us, let's say, Bishop Joe Bell or Bishop Retief or something. He's our minister. See that? Is that right or wrong? That's not right. He's one of our ministers. If somebody walked in that door and said, can I speak to your minister, please, or a minister, then I would say, yes. Who would you like to speak to? Because we've got quite a few here. We've got a couple of hundred here. No. I mean, you know, I know what they mean. But you see, the biblical thing is, friends, that you and I are all called from the Bible to exercise ministry. So have a look in point one at the equipping that takes place. So the pastor teacher, if I may be presumptuous enough to even imagine that, that would be my function. What allows me the great joy of serving you here at Christ Church Pinetown. Now, what is the function of the pastor teacher? His function is to prepare God's people for works of service. So the greatest thing I can do for you is to equip you, to help you, to encourage you, to give you all the resources that you will need, so that when we walk out of this building, we all go to our different fields carrying out ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. That equipping is to take place here in the church. The thing is, how do I do that? How does the pastor teacher equip the saints? Well, point A, the greatest tool that we have, brothers and sisters, is the Bible. This is our tool. You remember that lovely verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. It says this, so that the man of God may become thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the wonderful thing I want you to see is that Sunday by Sunday, as you and I come together and we work our way verse by verse, word by word through the books of the Bible, what's going to happen? You and I are going to be equipped. For what? For ministry. So that you can go out tomorrow, I can go out tomorrow, and exercise the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to us. The greatest tool to equip you is the Bible. There's nothing more wonderful than that. The tool that Jesus will use is the Bible. So in all our meetings, you have a look at our little brochure here if you're visiting us. Tomorrow morning we'll meet with the Ogs, and we're going through Esther tomorrow. You see, on Wednesday we're going through Acts. At the home groups we're going through Acts. On Thursdays we're going through Psalms. On Friday we're going through 2 Samuel. On Sunday mornings we're going through Ephesians. On Sunday evenings we're doing Matthew. It's wonderful. You see what it does? Because it equips you and builds you up. Point B, the second tool that Jesus has given us for equipping, of course, is prayer. Is prayer. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this about Epaphras. He's always laboring for you in his prayers so that you may stand perfect and be fully assured in the will of God. It's going to equip you, brothers and sisters, to pray to be in the Word. Point C, the third tool that Jesus uses to equip you and I is suffering. I know that's not always easy. Listen to James and chapter 1 and verses 2 and 4. He speaks of going through hardships and difficulties. He says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. So the trials of life are good for us. They're not easy, but God is equipping you through the Bible, through prayer, through testing, and sometimes, point D, through suffering, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. All of this then is working together so that you and I in a local church may become equipped to carry out our ministry. Think of another thing this morning. You know, sometimes churches are more concerned with empty pews. How are we going to fill the pews? Just something to think through. From the New Testament, it's not that. The chief concern of the leadership of the church should be with the filled pews. Are our members being equipped and helped and urged and encouraged for ministry? So there's point one by way of progression, equipping. Point two, service. Okay, you got verse 12? To prepare God's people for works of service. Dear friend, don't forget what we saw last Sunday morning, that every single one of you, if you're a real Christian, has at least one gift. Jesus, as the King and the Lord of the church, has given to each one of us a gift. So the task of the pastor teacher then is not just to equip. It is to go even that little bit further, but to see that these works of service are being done. Let's stop there for a minute. On my little desk here during the week, I had three requests. And I thought, well, isn't that amazing? We're just going through this sort of thing, and I'll share those with you. Here are three possibilities that you may be able to help us with. You take the folks, for example, who very kindly provide the snack bar for us on Sunday night. Yeah, we as a little family appreciate what they do, and we stock up or grow. It's a lovely ministry, but they need help. So maybe you are saying this morning, I'm not a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or an evangelist, but I love to cook. Why don't you contact me or Eva? She would love, she needs one more team, and you'll do it probably only once every 3 months. That's a lovely ministry of service. Another one came to us during the week. You've got our brothers who do the sound for us. Folks, these guys are working hard. They need one or two extra people to come and help them. They will train you. And if I went there, we wouldn't only have no overhead, we'd have no sound. I don't know how to do it, but they know. They'll help you. But we need helpers on the sound. The other one is, of course, the care group. Visiting the hospitals, visiting the sick, visiting those who are lonely. These are just three illustrations. So the terrific thing is, we come and learn the Word of God. We pray, we go through times of testing, sometimes through time of suffering. The purpose is to equip us. For what? For works of service. So that when we go into the week, each one of us has this wonderful joy of using our gift for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, for the building up. See at the end of verse 12? So that the body of Christ may be built up. The Christ Church Pinetown, whatever local church it may be, is going to be built up as each person begins to use their gift for the Lord Jesus Christ in the building up of God's people. Isn't it a lovely position to see? It really is. I hope this morning, friend, that you yourself know what your gift is and that you are using it here in our church. All right? So there's the first thing, the progression. Just secondly, let's have a look at the purpose. What's the purpose of all of this? Why has the Lord laid these things down for us? Look at verse 13 to 15. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Oh, we actually need more time, don't we, to develop that in great detail. But let me just touch on these areas for you. The purpose point one is so that we all attain unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. So that when we go out, we're not a divided church. We're a wonderfully united group of people, loving the Lord Jesus, using our gifts for the extension of the kingdom. So what the Bible is showing us here is that unity is promoted when we all become busily engaged in the affairs of our church, with each member eagerly rendering service as the Lord equips us. Point two. Not only do we want to reach unity, but also knowledge of Christ. That's the second thing that is going to happen. You and I are going to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. Now, all of this interest that has been created by the Da Vinci Code and the movie that's just started showing, one of the good things that comes out of that is that it's causing people to go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible teach us about Jesus? Because what the Bible teaches us about Jesus and what Dan Vaughan teaches in that movie about Jesus are different. So you and I come together on Sundays and during our Bible studies, we're learning the Word, we're praying, we're going through testing, we're going through suffering, not only equipping one another, but I'm growing all the time in my knowledge of Jesus. So a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door and I don't have a heart attack. But I can answer them. They want me to read a magazine and I can give an account. They say Jesus is not God. I say, no, He is God. And we can point out from the Bible the deity of Jesus. That's going to happen to us. We are going to be growing in my knowledge of Jesus. I'm going to be growing in unity. And then point three, oh, I love this phrase. Isn't it terrific? And become mature. Isn't that what you long for, friend, in your spiritual life? To become mature? Somebody may say, what do you mean by spiritual maturity? I've always found personally, for what that's worth, this is the best definition that I've ever heard. The spiritually mature Christian is someone who has experienced spiritual growth and who has applied the Word of God to moral decisions, and who has the ability to teach others about what God has taught them. That's it. Spiritually mature. We are going to mature in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in number four, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will be grounded in sound doctrine. And he says, in that way, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. There are sadly many Christians like that, aren't there? They're confused. So one moment they believe this, then they believe that. It all depends on the latest movie or the latest book they read. We don't want that. Point A, we don't want to be childish. We don't want point B to be inconstant or superficial or to lack discernment. I think I've told you, forgive me for it, just comes to mind right now, it was a sad thing for me. But I was invited to this lovely couple's home some years ago. A lovely, lovely couple. They were fairly new in the church and so on. And they just said, we just want to show you what we bought for our children. We're so proud of it. We had to save up, but we've got it. And there was these 20 volumes of a Bible encyclopedia. What do you think of it? Oof. I said, no. You know, the cover looks terrific. Let's just have a look at who produced it. Well, of course, it was produced by the Watchtower. Said, oh, I feel terrible. I want to say to you, my friends, you must burn it. Burn it. Don't give it away because it's poison. And they spend a lot of money, but you see, they lacked discernment. See how important this passage is for you and me? And we come together in church during the week, you don't just sit there and take it in. We come to God's precious Word. We say, dear God, speak to my heart. Because I want to be equipped to go out, to use the gift you have given me for the Lord. I want to grow in my knowledge of Jesus. I want to grow becoming mature in my walk. I want to grow so that I'm able to discern what's right and what's wrong. And lastly, number 5, I want to grow in having an authentic, loving testimony. That's a terrific thing that he speaks about. Instead, he says that we will speak the truth in love. Why is that important? Because sometimes people can speak the truth, but not in love. And that's always a sad thing. Others have got love, but not truth. That's soppy. We want them both. We want to speak the truth to our friends, but we want to do it in love. Well, you're probably exhausted. I've taken you through quickly through those passages. But I hope you've seen the heart of the progression and the purpose. So all that remains is, how are we going to do this? How can we do it? And verse 16 gives us the answer. It's a passage that reminds us how it's from Him and through Him and to Him. And it's only as you and I walk with the Lord and are equipped by the Lord that we will be able to go out and to live like this. Well, our time's gone. That's it. We'll pick it up next Sunday. But I hope you have a wonderful week this week, growing closer to Jesus and being wonderfully equipped to serve Him in the days in which we are. Let's have a prayer together. Lord, it's so easy to read this passage and somehow to let it slip by and to get caught up with all the affairs of life. But I pray in my own life and in the lives of my dear brothers and sisters that we would begin to put what we have heard into practice. Not only carrying out different ministries, but growing in maturity, growing in knowledge, growing in speaking the truth in love. Lord, that's our longing and our prayer, so that we will no longer be like children, tossed back and forth, lacking discernment, but that spiritually we will become mature in our walk with Jesus. Won't you be with us, Lord, as we come to this very precious time of Holy Communion, remembering what Jesus did for us at the cross. Amen.